crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and all the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" Peter addresses the crowd. "But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs of the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
I forgot to thank the worship committee earlier for decorating the chancel and the sanctuary. It looks so beautiful. And also, I was reminded this morning that in the fall, we had a fire inspection. The fire marshal comes to inspect the building. And he commented on our candles and said, "Okay, I'll let those go because I know that's for your religious purposes." Don't tell the fire marshal about Pentecost, all right? So, Pam just read for us the Pentecost story from Acts, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in tongues of flame. Our second reading is also about the Holy Spirit. Chronologically, this reading occurs before the story in Acts. It is from Jesus' Last Supper, when he gave what is called his farewell discourse to the disciples. In his farewell, Jesus promised to be with the disciples in death as he was in life. And to fulfill that, he assured them that God would send his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So listen for God's word to you from Jesus' farewell discourse in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17 and 25 through 27. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask God, the parent, and God will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees them nor knows them. You know them because they abide with you and they will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom God the Parent will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." This is the word of the Lord. One time, there was a man worshiping in a Presbyterian church, and during the Sunday service, he began to feel the Spirit. He was moved by the Spirit to say amen after one particularly compelling point in the sermon. The people sitting nearby began to feel uncomfortable. And a few minutes later, he felt the Spirit again, and this time he said just a little bit louder, "Hallelujah!" Everyone seated on that side of the church was noticeably uncomfortable now. Some even turned to look and see who was making such a ruckus. Things came to a head, though, when he yelled, "Praise Jesus!" An usher bustled down the aisle, leaned over the man, and whispered, "Sir, control yourself." The man exclaimed, "I can't help it, I got the Spirit." To which the usher immediately replied, "Well, you didn't get it here." That's an oldie but a goodie, but it illustrates the truth about most mainline Protestant churches. We are not quite sure how to handle the Holy Spirit, so we are very quiet about it. Presbyterians, for the most part, are more about the head than the heart. We believe in doing things decently and in order. We have excellent theology and polity and really good seminaries with big libraries and lots of books in Greek and Hebrew. So Presbyterians tend to leave the Spirit to the holy rollers, to people like the Pentecostals and Nazarenes and Assemblies of God folks. The Holy Spirit is too emotional, too touchy-feely, and too unpredictable. Of course, this is to our detriment because it leaves us with very little knowledge or experience of the Holy Spirit. But on Pentecost, it is awfully hard, even for Presbyterians, to ignore the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Woo! Beautiful. So this year, on Pentecost, I turned again to my favorite reference book, The Holy Ghost, A Spirited Comic by John Hendricks. Hendricks's Holy Ghost is a blue ghost with hollow eyes and small hands and an expressive face. In one comic, the Holy Ghost is wearing a party hat while talking to a squirrel. Squirrel asks, "What's with the party hat?" The Holy Ghost replies, "It's my birthday." "Well, sort of. The day I came down here." Squirrel says, "Okay, so do you have a cake or something?" "No, I don't like cake that much, but I made you a card," Ghost says, handing over a card with a big red heart on the cover. Squirrel is surprised. "You made me a card?" "That's what I like to do on my birthday," said the Holy Ghost. "Also, you're now fluent in French." "Sacre bleu," exclaims Squirrel. So one of the things I love most about cartoons is the way that a cartoonist can take seemingly simple drawings of memorable characters, add a very short text, and make a big point. Think of your favorite Peanuts cartoons, or Calvin and Hobbes, or The Far Side. In this Pentecost cartoon, when the Holy Ghost hands Squirrel a card with a big heart on the cover, Hendricks reminds us that the gift of the Spirit is a loving gift. In the reading from John, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask God, our parent, and God will give you another advocate to be with you forever." In this farewell discourse, just before his arrest and death, Jesus asked of his disciples that they continue to live in love, to love God and love neighbor as he taught them. In return, he promised that God would send the Spirit, his Spirit, to be an advocate for them going forward, just as Jesus had been in the past. In English, the Greek word for advocate is paraclete. The paraclete is the exhorter, the comforter, the helper, the counselor, and the advocate. Jesus was trying to help his grieving disciples and to prepare them for what came next. So he promised God's presence in the form of the paraclete, the Spirit. There is a school of theology dedicated to trying to prove God's existence, which has always seemed like an impossible task to me. Believing in God, in Jesus, and in the Holy Spirit is a matter of faith, not fact. Hopefully, you know this already, and you will agree when I say that I do not think that it is the minister's job to persuade people to believe in God. It is our job to help point to the places where we see God and to listen to the stories of where you see God. So in this sermon, I'm not going to give you a lot of data proving the existence of the Holy Spirit, which I do not have and I don't know how to do. Instead, I'm going to ask a lot of questions, hoping that it will spur all of us to reflect together on the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the author's note for the Holy Ghost, a spirited comic, John Hendricks wrote this: "The Holy Ghost, as a piece of Christian theology revealed in the New Testament, is taught as both a mystery and the very device that unlocks that mystery." The Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, as Hendricks calls it, is taught as both a mystery and the very device that unlocks that mystery. So experience of the Spirit helps to explain the mystery of the Spirit. This is faith. It is not rational or logical. It is experiential and true to those who believe. So, have you experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit? And if so, what was it like? Have you heard that little voice telling you to do this or not to do that, offering advice or a warning or comfort when you failed to heed that warning? If so, that's the Holy Spirit. Hendricks has another cartoon. This time, Squirrel is sobbing, covering his eyes, asking, "Has God forsaken me?" He throws himself flat on the ground, and the Holy Spirit, hovering over him, says, "No." In the next frame, Squirrel wails to the heavens, "God is punishing me for my doubts." Ghost leans in, saying, "No." Squirrel lays on his back, defeated, whimpering. Pain is a sign of disobedience. This time, the Holy Ghost has its fist raised, shouting, "No!" In the bottom row, Squirrel has his face in his hands, wondering, "Will God ever just speak to me?" From Squirrel's side, the Holy Ghost holds a megaphone to their mouth and bellows, "Yes!" Squirrel is blown away, flying out of the frame, head over heels, because, of course, God in the Spirit has been speaking to Squirrel the whole time, as God speaks to us. And sometimes, oftentimes, we miss it, just like Squirrel. So what does it mean to believe in a living God? To listen for God's voice in the Holy Spirit, and to know that in the Spirit, God speaks in us, with us, and through us. These Pentecost texts, these stories and teachings about the Holy Spirit, remind us that Jesus encouraged the disciples to live lives shaped not by his absence, by his death, but to live lives shaped by his presence in the Spirit. Jesus urged them to live lives shaped by love and not by fear. The Spirit in John's text was not static, but vibrant and alive. Jesus went on to describe the Spirit as the Spirit of truth, who would abide in his followers, who would be in and with them. He promised that the Spirit would teach them all they needed to know and remind them of all that Jesus said to them. So, do you feel the Spirit's presence within you? Do you sometimes hear the Spirit teaching and reminding you of Jesus' way? Do you trust that with the Spirit's help, you can and will continue to learn and grow in faith throughout your life? So, one last cartoon from the Holy Ghost. Once again, the Holy Ghost is talking to Squirrel. The ghost has a burlap sack near to hand and says to Squirrel, "Let me see your tail a second." Squirrel turns and looks over his shoulder, asking, "Whoa, what are you doing?" Because Ghost has a box and some kind of device in hand that they are inserting into the squirrel's tail. And Ghost says, "I'm just replacing your antenna." "What?" Ghost explains, "Everyone has an antenna designed just for you by God." "No way," the squirrel says. Ghost goes on, "Well, God talks to people in many different ways depending on the kind of antenna that fits best." "Can I see?" asks Squirrel. So Ghost opens the bag to show the antenna. "Okay, here's your standard faces of children. Then beautiful sunsets with a very effective nostalgia upgrade. Here's the often requested prophetic dreams and visions, but nobody gets these anymore, mostly." "Hold on," says Squirrel. "What did I just get?" The Holy Ghost sheepishly stammers, "Well, you got pain and personal failure. They aren't very popular, but they work the best." Poor Squirrel. So what sort of antenna do you have for seeing or hearing God? What helps you to recognize or to notice the Spirit's presence in your life? Is it the faces of children or beautiful sunsets or sometimes pain and personal failure? Hopefully, it's not just one thing. Hopefully, it's a mix of things that helps all of us to hear and feel and know God's presence with us. Maybe some are more painful than others, and hopefully many of them are beautiful. May we all leave this Pentecost Sunday filled with the Spirit, ready to see, hear, and know the gift of the Spirit today and every day. So come, Holy Spirit, come.